Moment wasn't too big for Ole Miss or the remaining coaching staff. For the Dogs, Mike, the good news is, look, Kirby talked about how young this team was. They got a lot of guys coming back. Obviously, their quarterback is a big part of that. I am not fretting the fact that Georgia will be right back in this position next year. I just feel like they will be. Schedule's going to be a little bit easier, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I thought they played one of the tougher schedules this year. And, you know, with all of that said, they had their chances in a loss 39-34. But I feel like everybody was waiting for Ole Miss to fold up because no Lane Kiffin. And that hasn't happened. And you said it. I don't know what happens this next week as far as the Miami game, but you know what? These kids are playing with a lot of confidence, and we're talking with you guys about Georgia taking the L last night and not moving on to a chance at playing in the title game. 2 years in a row, by the way, Georgia's had this bye. Georgia's had this extra time, and, Mike, it hasn't played in their favor.
Yeah, and a lot of folks feeling this way, that it just doesn't work. I mean, and how do you fix it? I know a lot of coaches have talked about it. I know that I think it was Dan Lanning was talking about it out in Oregon about, let's wrap it up so we finish on New Year's weekend, you know, or New Year's Monday, you know, of that weekend. And the idea that you'd have just continuous action. And the problem is, as we said, you know, people expect the NFL to go, oh, we'll just give you Saturdays. It's not going to happen. The NFL plays games on Saturday. And again, I got yelled at by somebody from the Falcons last year for insinuating the NFL was bullying college ball. But it goes back to the 70s. They've had, you know, that second or third week in December. They go to those Saturday games, and that's their window. So they're not going to change that. And look, they're Pac-Man. They gobble up everything. It's Christmas now, too. So that's not going to happen. That's why do you think we're playing these championship semis on Thursday and Friday?
That's right. Here's Dan Lanning. Mike was just mentioning this on how he would change the schedule.
Every playoff game should be played every single weekend until you finish the season. Ideally, the season, even if it means we start week zero or you eliminate a bye, the season ends January 1st. This should be the last game. It should be the championship game, and then the portal opens. Then coaches that have to move on to their next opportunities get the opportunity to move to their next opportunities.
He's right about this because for those who are not aware, today the portal is open. This is why Mike was mentioning this Ole Miss situation with the coaches needing to be at LSU to basically get the kids there trying to get to LSU. Meanwhile, they're still trying to coach the kids at Ole Miss.
It's insane.
The schedule is jacked. Right. And Dan Lanning's right about this. If all these games had been completed now, Mike, the portal opening up today, whether it was a second, third, or fourth, it wouldn't matter. Now you'd have coaches in place who have moved on, and they're ready to try to assemble their roster. Here's what else Lanning said in regards to the NFL on Saturdays.
I've got a ton of respect for the NFL, but we're a prep league for the NFL. We do a lot of favors for the NFL, right? We're the minor league in a lot of ways, but there's no money paid from the NFL to take care of college football, right? And in that sense, we've given up some of our days, right, to the NFL. We said, you guys get to have this day. You get to have this day. You get to have this day. Saturday should be sacred for college football, right? And every Saturday through the month of December should belong to to college football, in my opinion.
In a perfect world, yes. But it's not going to happen.
As I said, I was putting that argument out there last year, but it's just the NFL's got it. And as I said, if you go back and look, you can see even in the 70s, they were playing games on Saturdays in the middle of December. So, yes, in a perfect world, the NFL would say, you know what? Dan's right. You are providing us cheap labor and a way to scout our next generation because there is no minor league football, okay? That summer league or that spring garbage some of you guys watch, that is what it is. Two or three guys get pulled from that. Yeah, Day-Day, I know you watch that summer football. But, this stuff, he's exactly right, but it ain't going to change.
No, it's not. 404-726-0929. If you have a thought or two about the Dogs, how this game went down last night, the mistakes that were made, and whether or not you're questioning Kirby, just a little bit. And again, this is not whether or not he's the best coach in college football. This is more about the game in itself, the game management
stuff.
You really
think I'm going to answer that question?
Well, listen, Kirby, people are questioning some of this stuff that went down last night.
Right.
And, you know, again, when you have a lead, you blow a lead, then you get back in the game, you tie the game, and, Mike, you've got these opportunities. It makes you wonder, all right, the decision-making and the process that you go through with that. Again, my opinion about Kirby's not changed one bit, but when you talk about this specific game and how you could have maybe won it, Mike, or the fact that you lost it,
right,
how you lost it, we're questioning those things.
Well, that's the thing. Kirby is at the point in his career, we're giving him all the love that he's Nick Saban. You know, he's Nick Saban 2.0. Nick Saban doesn't make those mistakes. I mean, I understand. Look, I love the aggressiveness, the punt, because they've done that before, and their special teams is second to none, and they executed it. But to be on that side of the 50 that deep, just trust your defense and make some adjustments.
I agree.
I mean, that you cannot go for it. That made no sense. And as I said, the conservative nature because of what happened last year. Again, I just feel Gunnar Stockton is so further down the road in his development. You can trust him in that moment. And Bobo, as we said, Branch is your best athlete on offense. You've got to get him more. As you said, maybe they were trying to establish some rhythm in the passing game. All those passing, I think, was at one point it was one run and seven throws in the first couple of series. And then they decided to start running the ball again. So I know Bobo always gets the heat, but I think it was deserved. I just did not like some of the game plan, especially when Ole Miss was now totally dialed in on those designed runs for Stockton. There were no windows. There's nowhere for him to go.
No, and I thought Ole put it perfectly today on our behind-the-scenes show, and he was talking about the offense felt disjointed last night. There was just no flow.
Nothing was easy.
No.
In the second half.
Specifically. But but give Golden credit. They made the adjustments. And this is why some people are saying today, you know what? Ole Miss, the coaching staff did a better job than Georgia did, specifically when you needed it in the second half.
And I'm literally texting with Randy Mack. I'm like, I was asking Randy from a professional standpoint as a former pro player. I said, they really do bracket Branch. Or even when there's pressure, they can't have any play design to get it to Branch quickly. Like, I know the wide receiver screens drive everybody crazy, but slants, quick hits. You know, he was in the slot, and then no sooner I say that, they get the touchdown. He makes an unbelievable catch, by the way, falling backwards in the end zone.
Indiana, by the way, as we're talking college football playoffs from last night, we're going to talk to Mike Griffith from Dog Nation coming up a little bit later on. In less than 8 minutes from now, we'll talk to our buddy Bobby Hebert down in New Orleans to talk about the Saints coming in for this last game of the season. 35-point loss by Bama. Worst since 1998.
Oof.
Okay. When you talk about.
Wow.
Yeah. When you start talking about the beatdowns. And here is the robot. And we say that with all, you know, due respect. Fernando Mendoza, to Mike's point, I said yesterday, it feels like he's rehearsed for all these moments. There are guys who just, you know, again, you didn't know 2 years ago who he was, but you put him in front of a camera and a microphone, and all of a sudden he's smiling and it's perfect and his nuances and he's saying just the right thing. And you're like, holy crap, who is this guy? That is Mendoza. This was him yesterday talking about playing in the Rose Bowl. Listen to this.
Well, first of all, my team and I want to give all the glory to God. What a historic venue, the Rose Bowl, one of the best venues in all of sports. It's just a great conglomerate of individuals coming together and really forming complementary football. Coach Zig has hit on us, no complacency. And especially when you have a bye, it's tough to get in the rhythm of football. But once we got our feet on the ground, we knew that we're going to stick together and come out with this W.
Yes, it's Tim Tebow-like. It's very, as a matter of fact, it's almost like you could have taken that from a Tim Tebow soundbite from the mid-2000s.
You could have.
But that's cool. But like, hey, the one thing I think you see a lot of, and it's funny because some of the media elite, Carl, don't like this, is faith. Guys, faith plays a big part in the lives of these young men. And whether you like it or don't, or you don't like, I always see the people say, well, what if he was Islamic? You wouldn't want him saying, well, whatever. It's a free country. You can express your faith. These guys do. And faith-based programs, whether it was Dabo or Bobby Bowden, has been part of football forever.
Yeah, I'll say this, and you know, for me,
it doesn't bother me. Real quick, it doesn't. I don't know. It's I'm used to it. I mean, I'm not very spiritual or religious, but it doesn't bother me. I've always blown away when people get all in their bag about it.
Yeah, I would say for most guys, it played specifically once you get into college. In some high schools, I think a lot of high schools do too. But Fellowship of Christian Athletes, Mike,
oh yeah,
introduces a lot of young athletes to this, even if it's not in their life. And then whatever you do with it and how you grow with it is your business. But that is nothing new. And the FCA has been a huge part of football and youth football coming up. For those of you who have ever played, you probably know this. But if you don't, that's there. It's already there. And the reason is, you know, Mike says this about the post game. Well, hell, let's stop praying before the game. Let's stop getting guys around the middle of the field and start praying for, you know, health and making sure that everybody's going to be okay. All of these things circle around the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, Mike.
Right.
So this is nothing new. I don't know why everybody gets all crazy about it, but you're right. That is something that this young man, Fernando Mendoza, immediately when he starts speaking, like, first I got to give glory to God. And everybody's like, oh,
yeah.
I don't understand it either.
And again, Tuesday's show, if you miss it, because I know it's a disjointed week. People don't even know what day it is right now. Am I working today? Am I off? Tomorrow is Saturday. We talked about it on Tuesday. Scott Van Pelt tried to basically, I know you want to give glory to God, but well, let the man give glory to God, okay? Another 10 seconds on ESPN is not going to kill somebody.
No.
And it was very disingenuous for a guy. I'm a big fan of SVP, and Bijan still did his thing afterwards and then gave praise to his team.
Yes, he did. By the way, this is my only time to revel, or at least, you know, at least talk about it a little bit, because they were not in the college football playoff. But did you see Arch Manning? This hype is going to be unbelievable next
year. Well, you said it. I know we learned that Michigan was an unmitigated disaster. I think you and I both bet on Texas this week in the Citrus Bowl. And see, this is where Notre Dame, you know, you want to play like high and mighty, like you got screwed by the committee. Okay, maybe you could have made the run Miami's making. We'll never know. But you decide to basically thumb your nose at everybody. Texas uses this time like it always was. Extra 3 weeks of prep.
That's right.
Get some momentum for next season.
Yeah. And look, I think, you know, for Arch, he continued to get better throughout the course of the season. Look, when they played Georgia, he had a lot of drop balls. There were opportunities there.
Oh, yeah.
His receivers didn't come up for it. But for him as an individual, all the attention that he's getting, Mike, he couldn't have played any better at the end of the season. Ran for two, threw for two. He was a monster. This was the 60-yard rushing touchdown where if you didn't see the highlight, you're like, damn, he's fast. He ran away from everybody.
Christian Clark back on the field at running back. Offset to the left side of Arch Manning. And on first down, it's Manning, a design keeper straight up the middle. Manning, say goodnight to it. 60 yards to the house. Arch Manning, a dagger in the heart.
It was. And that game was close for a minute, right? It was like, oh, Michigan's hanging. They're showing you a little something here. And then that happened. Long story short, man, we'll see. They'll be expected, Mike, to make the college football playoff next year with him at the helm. There's going to be pressure on LSU with Lane there and seeing what he's able to do. Georgia's going to be Georgia, guys. Again, I'm not as worried as some people like, oh, young team. I think Kirby overachieved. But I'm not giving him an out because I still feel like they probably should have won last night.
Right.
But I think he overachieved with this team.
Well, it's funny because Connor Riley, who joins us to start the season, said, I think there's a ceiling with Georgia because of the defense and the turnover on the defense. All the guys, you know, we've got Jalen Walker, all the guys who went to the NFL. And that's where he felt that's what was going to sort of cap it. Well, at the end of the day, the defense couldn't get Trinidad Chambliss on the ground. There was no way. Yep. In addition to the scrambling plays where he just improvised, if you go back and watch, somebody did a montage of all his dropbacks, there's not many times he's getting pressure, you know, from the standard line. So that did kind of come back to bite him. But to Carl's point, it was a younger team. I think everybody out there, look, Ohio State, Texas was all in the same boat. Ryan Day taking over the play calling. I mean, that was god-awful. I mean, that looked ugly at times against Miami. And then, you know, Kirby just made one or two big mistakes, and Mike Bobo, too. But at this level, what do you think is going to cost you the game? That's it. You're in the rarefied air of the, you know, six or eight best teams in college.
Yeah, and here's the crazy thing. Like you said it, I thought it was two duds and two really good games, considering the college football playoff. That Texas Tech game, defense is really good. What the hell happened to their offense, Mike?
Right.
I mean, like, honestly, it looked anemic. It looked elementary. Like, you're going, what are you guys trying to do? Defensively, Tech was really good all year, and they showed that. And when you hold a team to, like, 4-for-19 on third down and still lose, that's right. What they did. So that game was a complete dud, but only because the offense was non-existent. And then the Indiana blowout was a dud. I mean, that was, you know, and when Simpson leaves the game, you're like, this is a wrap. Like, you knew there was no way they were going to come back. But at any point, once Indiana started moving the ball, it just felt like they were going to do whatever they wanted to do. And by the way, you guys realize they did that yesterday without their best pass rusher on the field? Indiana. And they still sacked Simpson and still put him out the game. Like, that's right. How good that team is. And again, I'm not overstating this, Mike, but I just feel like right now they're on this ride where it just feels like, I don't know if anybody's going to be able to beat
it. And it kind of, maybe like, you know, the loss to Louisville, I watched much of the SMU game because I bet SMU in that one. And Miami just, that's when I talk about Cristobal making some crazy decisions. They got really tight in the red zone in both those games. And it's almost like Ohio State with Ryan Day. Even though they lost to Michigan, now Miami's getting hot like Ohio State got hot at the right time last year.
What does Bobby Hebert think about the Saints-Falcons matchup? One of our all-time favorite guests joins us next from New Orleans.
One of our favorite guests, guys, because it is good. You know, we talk about Tech and Georgia being clean, old-fashioned hate. I think it's the best rivalry in the NFL. Obviously, the Bears and the Packers got more juice because, you know, those teams are actually sniffing the playoffs or going to the playoffs. But Bobby Hebert joins us right now on the WadeFord.com hotline. Former Falcon quarterback, as he said one time, Carl, when you and I were driving back from New Orleans, I had to be a mercenary. Jim Fix won't give me a contract.
That's what he said.
Hey, Bobby. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year, brother. How you been?
Good. I'm kind of enjoying it. I enjoyed that Sugar Bowl last night. Boy, I guess the last hope for the SEC can Ole Miss win it.
Right.
Boy, I don't think the SEC likes name, image, and likeness. We're not as dominant no more.
Hey, man, I know you're in New Orleans, just up the road in Baton Rouge. I mean, obviously, everyone's pretty psyched about Lane Kiffin, but Bobby, it's just everything that's wrong with college football. The fact the staff's up there to lock in transfers when they should be getting ready for Miami.
Yeah, I mean, they got to get the calendar right. I think Nick Saban might have commented on that. They need a czar. I don't know. Why not make Nick Saban the commissioner like Roger Goodell college football? They got to get their calendar in order. Right. I mean, they got it ass backwards. I mean, you should be focused on winning in games and, you know, still be compensated, names and likeness. But no, it's so unorganized, it's pitiful. And you think in today's world you could get that fixed. But, yeah, that's what, to me, what's so upsetting about this is that, okay, what coaches are leaving, who's staying? Just look at the mess between LSU and Ole Miss right now. And how about Lane Kiffin? You know, LSU is so excited to have Lane Kiffin that whenever Ole Miss wins, he makes like $500,000.
That's true. Right. It's crazy.
So, yeah, Ole Miss has two wins. He gets $1 million. And then I think if they the next game they win, he gets $1 million. Mm-hmm. So how about that gig? Huh?
Yeah. And the fact that Ole Miss is, I mean, LSU's paying it. You're absolutely right. Bobby Hebert, from one quarterback to another, tell us what your thoughts are about Tyler Shook, man. You believe this kid?
What? He's the best quarterback in the NFC South. I'm telling you right now.
Wow.
You remember what I'm telling you.
Wow.
You remember what I'm telling you right now. They say, well, Bobby, if he's so good, why didn't he play earlier? Okay, I'm going to give you two examples. Did Pat Mahomes even play in the first year?
No.
I mean, had Alex Smith? No, Pat Mahomes didn't play. How about last year? I think they went with Jacoby Brissett, a journeyman, the New England Patriots. I think it was the sixth game that Dre May started. The first game he went against the Texans, they lost. So, no, I'm telling you, that's why this game is important for the Saints. If they win, they want to carry that momentum into next year. And think about this. They'd have a 4-2 record in the NFC South. Mm. And you know, and I told the fans, no, we got to hold the Saints organization's feet to the fire. They got to win the division next year. Because
wow.
If you're hovering around 500, you can win it. I mean, sure. So there's going to be no excuses. And just to show you how prolific that Tyler Shuck's been on that four-game winning streak, and especially like late in games, he's been so clutch. He's completed his passer rating is like 115.5 in the fourth quarter of the last four games, 413 fourth quarter passing yards, and ranked second in the NFL during that span. And three of those four wins came when Shuck leading a go-ahead drive in the final quarter. I don't know, that sounds clutch to me.
Mm.
And he's playing with a lot of confidence. And I'm a big dude. He's bigger than me, but he can run.
Right.
I mean, I'm telling you, and I think I'm being objective about this. I can look at Michael Penix. I look at Baker Mayfield. Now, look at Baker Mayfield. At the beginning of the year, we thought he was up for MVP.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, boy, talk about a team fall apart. That's unbelievable. What about the injuries? I don't know. 49ers have injuries. Look where they're at right now. So you can't use that excuse. And then Carolina, I don't know, we whipped that ass twice. In Carolina, I'm like, how can Carolina represent the NFC South? We made little Bryce look like the little boy when he went to training camp with his backpack that was too big for him.
Right.
It looked like he was in ninth grade. No, I'm telling you, the Saints fans, they're going to hold the organization's feet to the fire in the next year. That, okay, enough. We post Drew Brees, that Tyler Shuck's the guy. And I'll tell you, he is a franchise quarterback. Well, what are you talking about, Bobby? It's too much a small sample size. I'm just telling you, his swag and his confidence in the football people I've talked to and quarterbacks. I'm talking about Kellen Moore and the likes. They had a lot of quarterback people in that building, and they had the quarterback. The difference, like Spencer Rattler, when he was playing, he didn't make people better around them. Tyler Shuck does that. And he scores in the red zone. The last time they played Atlanta, you know, all the Falcons kicked the Saints behind. I told the fans this.
Right.
Well, we couldn't score in the red zone, and the Falcons did. I'd be more fearful right now, I can tell you, because of the efficiency. And the Saints been sacking the quarterback as of late. More fearful of Kirk Cousins than I would Michael Penix right now.
Wow.
Because Kirk Cousins is going to get rid of that ball, and he's always had success against the Saints. I think I got to look it up. And I'm going to do this a little more homework. I think whether it's with the Redskins, Vikings, or the Falcons, that Kirk Cousins has had the Saints number. And so that's what worries me more than anything.
Well, again, the offense clicks with him. Bijan is a machine. You know, we don't even have Drake London at 100%. But, yeah, Kirk, we got this question because the money they hit is insane, Bobby. It's $57 million if Kirk comes back. Don't know if Penix will be ready to go. So we got a lot more questions than the Saints. I just looked it up. You guys don't have a lot of cap space, but you got 6 draft picks in the top 150. So what are you going to fix for Kellen Moore to make this team a playoff team?
Yeah, they got a hit on the draft again. I think they hit on this draft. I think, you know, the Falcons paid attention to the D-line. Mm-hmm. Well, the Saints address the offensive line. But they have a right guard. It's a first-round draft pick. The fans, his name's Cesar Ruiz. They're calling him Cesar Louise. I mean, he is like, talk about stealing money. I said, why did they pay him in advance? Right. He doesn't never win. And we were playing last week against the Titans. I don't know what his ankle was hurt. I think he wanted that ankle really to be hurt because I can't think of his name. Now, who's the big D tackle with the Titans? The best in the league.
Simmons.
Simmons. He was like, man, I don't want to I can't block that guy. So, yeah, he decided to sit out. And so, I think Chris Olave, look, I can tell you Shug's going to miss him. Now, all of a sudden, we finally had a clot in his lung.
Oh, wow.
And you look, in the past 2 games, he's had 148, 119 yards receiving and 3 touchdowns. So here was the guy they were counting on, 100 receptions, right around 1,200 yards, 9 touchdowns and 25. And so he's not going to be available. And they like Vele, who they got from the Broncos, the big possession receiver. So, I don't know, the fans are looking at we got to get a playmaker. Enough of this. You know, fans will get excited when you draft linemen and all that.
Right.
Now you can get a pass rusher, and then they get excited about that. But I'm telling you, I think they'd want, I don't know if he could be this, they would want like a Bijan Robinson type. Like,
right.
Do you think Jeremiah Love of Notre Dame could be that guy?
Yeah.
Because, you know, at one time we're talking, oh, the Saints would be picking in the top 3. And you got some stupid fans. They're like, oh, well, why we keep winning? I don't know. You play to win the game. Everybody was playing for their job. Oh, they worried about, oh, we're not picking in the top 3 no more. That man said, you want to be like the Jets and Raiders? They suck. Come on. I'm like, don't you want to win and give hope? So yeah, I don't know. That's kind of, they're all into Jeremiah Love right now,
okay.
The running back from Notre Dame.
Cam Jordan, this is last game. Is this his last game?
No. How can it be his last game? He drank from the Fountain of Youth, him and DeMario Davis. Cam's at 9.5 sacks right now. I don't know. People say, oh, but Gabriel, we gotta go younger. Well, why? What you mean we got to go younger? Until the young guy beats him out, why shouldn't he play?
Mm.
No, they got to work out the salary and all that. The same thing with DeMario Davis. He's had the most tackles ever. He's hovering around 140.
Mm.
Now, the guy who's a stud, and I say this in training camp, there's no way he's not going to get double-digit sacks. And he missed 5 games because his calf, you know, which goes to the Achilles and all that, and he's at 8.5 sacks. When I saw him in training camp and even when we practiced against the Rams, I go, they can't block Chase Young.
Mm-hmm.
So watch Chase Young,
right.
You know, outstanding play. Whenever you sack the quarterback, force a fumble, then you're able to scoop and score. That's unbelievable. So Chase Young, to me, they've invested him. They paid him. Last year, so he's going to be around for a few years. But, no, he's hell when he's well, when he's been well lately. And he's at 8.5 sacks.
It is
so,
Bobby. Yeah, go ahead,
but Cam, but go ahead. Cam Jordan and DeMario Davis, no. How can you not bring him back on? And I think Kellen Moore says you need that balance, young players, and they're the leaders of the defense. And Brandon Staley, he should be up at defensive coordinator of the year, having the Saints right now. They're like 8 or 9 right now in the league. So when I look at that, and I'm telling you, Tyler Shuck, they didn't have an offensive leader. Like the main players they had, Juwan Johnson, and I don't know, Chris Olave, he's too shy. And then Juwan Johnson, I don't know, he's some TikTok stud or something. And him and his wife, they got all these. And the fans don't care how many followers you got. They want you to catch touchdown passes and catch the ball and don't fumble. You know, and stuff. So I think Tyler Shuck, that offensive leader they're looking for.
Hey, man, it's Bobby Hebert with us, guys, one of our favorite guests because he just rolls and we just sit back and enjoy. It's the Dukes and Bell. We'll be talking more about Georgia and what happened last night with Ole Miss and Kirby making a couple of uncharacteristic mistakes. That's on the way. So getting back to the Falcons and the Saints, I don't know how much time you got to watch Michael Penix Jr. before he got hurt, We don't know about Zach Robinson and who's coming back on this staff. What do you think about Michael Penix Jr. and his future in the NFL? Because right now it's still uncertain. We don't know what we have here. What do you think?
I think he's better than Spencer Rattler, obviously. But I think Spencer Rattler is an NFL quarterback. I think Michael Penix is an NFL quarterback. But do you invest him as your – I don't know how you describe a franchise quarterback. But you got to play – he has to play a little more even to be a legit starter that you could count on week in and week out. So, no, I think the jury's still out on him. I mean, he could spin it. But he's one of the few brother quarterbacks that – can he really run? I mean, it was like – I don't know. Can he scramble enough? He's kind of – I don't know, Jared Goff-like in the pocket. You know, when I think of that. So, I don't know. I think Michael Penix, what he did at University of Washington was outstanding. But to say that he can make magic, I don't know. Now, he's more mobile than Kirk Cousins. What is that saying?
What's going on with Alvin, by the way? Just doesn't look the same.
Oh, no, he's an old man. He got old overnight. You know, when you hit 30 and he hit that wall and then all of a sudden, oh, my knee, my ankle, they should have put him on IR because he hasn't been available. And when I look at Kamara, I mean, he's not as explosive as he was now. Mm. And, you know, trying to preserve himself, he's going for that extra yard. He's going out of bounds. But the Saints, he hadn't had like a 20-yard run in a long time. Like the longest run we had, I want to say Taysom Hill had a 29-yard run against the Rams. But you know the one who's a beast and runs hard, he kind of reminds me of Algier. You know, the guy, the 1-2 punch with Bijan Robinson is Estime from Notre Dame. But I tell you what, he's taking advantage of his opportunity. But I think he'd be part of like a rotation, but not the main guy. Mm-hmm. But because the Saints right now, you know, Kendra Miller, he was always hurt. You look at Devin Neal, who they got from Kansas. He got hurt. So they're in their fourth running back, and it just seems like whoever they put around Tyler Shuck, he's still able to excel because the center, it's all journeyman and the interior lineman, basically. I think David Onyemata will give him the business tomorrow, so on Sunday, I should say, so that'll be interesting. I think Banks, the left tackle, is more legit than Fuaga. Now, Fuaga's playing his natural position, going back from left tackle to right tackle. But he's dealt with injuries and kind of struggling. But I think their left tackle, I'm not saying he's the second coming of Teron Armstead, but he has that kind of ability. And Juwan Johnson is getting better at tight end because he's that big body receiver that they moved to tight end. So, listen, you know what's a shame, though, when I think of this? How can the Falcons have all this talent on paper? And what is it going to be, 8 seasons and I going to the playoffs?
Yes, Thanks, Bobby.
I want a clean house, Bobby. I thought they mishandled the quarterback. I'm not a fan of the coordinators. He had to fire his DC after last year. They don't take care of the little details. Special teams, Bobby, been a mess all year. So, and we got a consulting firm. They're talking about Matt Ryan coming in to work with the Falcons. So it's going to be a crazy offseason here in Atlanta.
Yeah, so will Matt Ryan be the new GM or just a consultant?
That's it.
You know, we know Fontenot from the Saints, but then you have to win, and he's been in charge. So I don't know. It seems like they have stud players, but I said, how can the Falcons have so many stud players and then they don't win?
It's a great question. Yeah. And, Bobby, we've been throwing it around nonstop throughout the course of the season. It's always a pleasure to visit with you, man. Glad to know you're doing well. Family's good. Happy New Year to you and your family, man. And we appreciate your input on this with the Saints matchup on Sunday.
Yeah, yeah. And tell Mike, he probably does. Tell him to check out T-Bob, man. He's on FS1.
Yeah, I seen him.
He's a fool at Barstool.
I seen him. I know. T-Bob is blowing up. For those who know Thibodeau, T-Bob, Bobby Avery's son, played at LSU and is now becoming a rock star, man. He's loving life, man. And you as a grandfather, too.
Yeah, yeah, my guy. Now, this is crazy. I think I'm like mentally about 28 or 29, and I have 8 grandkids. I'm like, how does that work? I mean, that's like, I am so immature. I don't think I'll ever grow up. So, like, you know, it's like, although they keep the grandkids away from the grandpa. We got to be around.
Right.
We have to have a chaperone.
A responsible adult.
Yeah, exactly.
Good stuff. Bobby, appreciate you,
all
man.
All right, talk to y'all later.
Take care, brother.
Okay. He's got eight. I didn't realize he had eight grandkids.
Yeah, he's
man.
Got kids. T-Bob's got a bunch. And, yeah, Bobby's, man. When you get with his family, you know, real quick, we got to catch a break. His father still doesn't give Bobby respect. One of the best players in the USFL, great career in the NFL, beloved in New Orleans, because he didn't have the makings of an LSU quarterback.
Yeah, that's tough, man. A lot of pressure.
His dad is still giving him heat over that.
A lot of pressure. We love him. I hope Falcon fans heard what he said. He's saying Tyler Shook is the future for the Saints.
He said he's a leader.
So, look, he comes in here and lights us up on Sunday. You heard it here with Bobby, all right? We're coming back. What's on Day-Day's mind? Also, the picks. We'll get you filled in next. It is Dukes and Bell. Thanks to Bobby Hebert. Great stuff from him on the Falcons matchup. They're not going to come in here and lay down. And if Tyler Shook's trying to prove he is the franchise guy, Mike, he's trying to ball out on Sunday.
Well, I mean, it's not like we're getting into comparative scores or anything, but if you look at the performance we put up against the Rams and Stafford struggle, we get it. But if you can get that kind of heat on a young quarterback and we can do the things we know we're capable of, that's what makes this team so frustrating. That's why I say week after week, I'm going to move on because you're not maximizing the talent. But if we come out the way we did against the Rams or the way we did against the Bucks, you know, on Thursday night a couple of weeks ago, then you'll beat them easily.
I agree.
Are we?
that's the question. And look, I'd love to say, yeah, we're going to beat them down and it'll feel good and we'll end the season on a winning note. And then we'll see where this thing goes starting Monday, because Monday is Black Monday, guys. For those who are not familiar with the NFL, it's when usually, okay, the firings happen. And it happens from the end of the day, meaning Sunday night we'll get some reports from coaches that are not returning. Into Monday, and it can be Monday afternoon before we find out the full details on what's going to happen with the Falcons. So for everybody that, you know, and look, Mike, and if they are set, meaning they already have their mindset, they could easily after the game, Arthur Blank could come out, Mike, and say, we're moving forward this coaching staff and put it into it. But I don't know if he's going to do that right after the game. If you just wanted to put it into it, win, lose, or draw, hey, we're moving forward. We know we didn't have the season we wanted. This is where we're at. But I think they're going to make us wait Monday, and then we'll see where things go.
Well, he's going to meet with you know, there's reports, depends on which NFL insider, air quotes, you're getting your stuff from, that, you know, some guys feel that Raheem is gone. Others feel that he can still come back, but some assistance will be some serious changes, obviously special teams. But we'll see. But here's the thing. Win, lose, or draw, I don't want to hear Arthur Blank, if he does fire Raheem, do a half hour about how much he loves Raheem like he did with Arthur Smith. If he's gone, he's gone.
Yeah.
You know, and we love Raheem, and he's a solid person because he is, but it just – you did not, to me, the details and the small things became big things which are never taken care of. And that's why we're sitting here on the outside looking in again with the playoffs.
All right. Day-Day, we talked about our new year just a little bit as we started the show. You had an interesting new year, didn't you? New Year's Eve, I guess?
Yeah, very interesting New Year's Eve. So the wife and I and several friends went out for dinner at a restaurant, and I'm going to leave them nameless just because.
Okay, you know, right. Good idea.
You know, leave them nameless.
But call them out, Day-Day. Call them out.
You know what? That doggone Orange Kitchen. No, let me stop. No, seriously.
You got jokes.
So an establishment meant actually not too far from here advertised that they were going to, you know, basically join us for your New Year's Eve. You know, eat, drink, you know, we've got a DJ, have fun. Cool. Let's do this, right? So we get there. Our reservation was for 8. No problem getting seated at our table.
Okay.
However, once seated at the table, it was 30 minutes before a server came over to us.
Oh, man.
That's a while.
Was the place packed?
That's a while.
It was a typical, if you had gone there, because they're known for hanging out, eating, drinking. If you had gone there on a Saturday night, it was about that level of a crowd.
Okay.
All right. 30 minutes. I had to, you know, the wife was starting to get a little, I was like, just stay calm. We're out. We're with
friends.
You
are patient, because I know Carl and I, 30 minutes is goodbye.
We were up out of there.
Yeah. So finally, server comes over. Okay, cool. Takes the drink orders. Well, then guess what, guys?
What?
It was an hour before the drinks. First round of drinks.
That's messing up your buzz right there, buddy.
Hell no.
That's messing up the buzz, man.
An hour?
You know what? Time out. This now I understand why you want Raheem to come back. You have you sir have the patience of Job. You sir, you got a lot of patience, Day-Day, because I don't think there's anybody listening right now that would have put up with that.
Well, I will be honest, and I thought about it later. I was like, why was I the only one not so antsy about? Well, I pre-gamed. before we got there.
I got you.
And
so
I
you,
did
was,
not
you was chilling. Yeah.
Right. So it finally hit me like, oh, that's why everybody else might be on edge. But no. Yeah, it took an hour for the drinks to come out. Like, our food literally started coming out before we got our first round of drinks. So I say all this to say this. Do not advertise. You want people to come to your establishment for New Year's Eve or any type of, you know, popular night of people being out to celebrate if you're not going to be able to accommodate this.
You're right.
Like, that makes absolutely no sense. So, you know, I joked on the way home that I was going to call them out, but I was like, no, I can't really do that. Seriously, all jokes aside, but I will talk about the incident. And they know who they are.
Right.
If anyone in that works there, they know who. It was so bad. Our original server, in regards to the drinks, she had to go behind the bar and start making drinks as well for the rest of the night, just so they could keep the food coming out.
So one
wasn't
bartender,
an issue.
So you got one bartender doing service bar and the bar, and that's not enough.
It was bad.
But
it was
that's bad. And just, you know, real quick, because, you know, most of us worked. Orin and I, we waited tables and bartended. It's just the city. There's not enough people. There's not enough people that want to work. And like, I don't want to sound like an old man. It is what it is. If I was a young guy in my 20s, if you do it right, you make more money. You make tips.
Exactly.
You make it fly. And it's we are an understaffed city. We're understaffed in our football games for bartenders and in bars and restaurants, man.
Yeah. I mean, I was a busser at Club Kaya when Club Kaya was around. And we looked forward to the festive nights coming around. Because for us, we were like, we're going to do well. Yep. You know what I mean?
And we used to share the tips with the bus crew. Yeah.
Exactly. And then, you know, back then, this is when clubs stayed open until, 4 or 5 in the morning. So then,
parties
don't
stop till late in the morning.
Yeah. We'd be at the bar ourselves once we got everybody out of there. Just, you know, the whole crew drinking and enjoying what was a good night. So it's a completely different mindset with these, you know, this new generation.
Who do you blame? Who do you blame, Day-Day?
You know what?
You blame this generation of kids? That's what I just heard. You blame them?
They're soft. They don't really do a good job.
I do say there is a generation of kids that do not, they have a microwave mentality.
Okay.
They want the instant gratification. Like, even in this business, I've seen people come into this very studio, you know, fresh out of school or a few months removed from school, and if they didn't get certain in 6 months, they were gone.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I just think, like, when it comes to the food service industry, they really don't have that type of patience for that. You got to be patient to work in food services.
But it's a hustle. Look, the thing is, it's a hustle job. It's commiserate. And I hear people, Carl, all the time about, you know, I'm not going to get 25%. You don't get – that's nonsense. 20% is the standard. Not everybody gives it to you.
Right.
I mean, like, some days you might work your ass off and get stiff because the person's a jerk and you didn't do anything wrong. It's like there's some risk involved. But to me, it's if you're in college or you're a young kid and you got a roommate, because I understand it. Times are hard and everybody's, you know, living with their parents.
Hard times.
Hard times. But you know, I don't know about you, Carl. When I started radio, I had like more than one job. You know?
Yeah.
Multiple jobs.
I've always worked.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't want to sound like Archie Bunker or Clint Eastwood and get off my lawn, but we see it. And some of our best favorite restaurant people can't even get the thing staffed.
Yeah.
Good restaurants.
Bad. All right, real quick, I want to show some love to the Georgia Tech women's basketball team. They knocked off number 18 Notre Dame yesterday in overtime. Nice win. So 95-90 the final in that. So just wanted to throw some love, especially to a couple of local kids that I got a chance to see.
They were good last year.
They were. And then coach stepped down.
That's
so
right.
They're under a new direction this year. A couple of key players from last year left, but then they transferred in some girls. A couple of girls I saw when they played in high school, Anaya Foster, who went to Lovejoy and was on their 2022 state title team, and then Brianna Turner. She had 13 rebounds and 10 assists yesterday. But she was with Westlake girls basketball when they had their four state title wins in a row. So I just wanted to show some love to them. All right, guys, let's get back to because we really haven't had a chance to today yet. Let's talk Hawks.
All right.
Picked up a nice win. What was that?
Thank God.
Without Trey.
Yeah.
Now, I see a lot of back and forth between yesterday and today. Some people are of the belief that the ownership is in love with Trey Young, and Trey Young ain't going anywhere despite what people have to say about it being time for them to move on. I am personally...
State your source.
I'm trying to, Trey. I'm in the mindset of that I love Trey Young. I personally think he's a good basketball player, but I think this franchise has hit a point where he no longer fits into the puzzle.
Just state your source.
Who's saying that they, and I say that like you know the specific person, but what fans are truly saying that they are in love with him to the degree that they're not willing to build a championship caliber team for the fan base and for this city? Like, you can really like a player. The question is privately. Mm-hmm. The door closes. Can we win big with him?
Right. What have you won?
If the answer's no, then I don't care how beloved that player is. And let's not forget, I mean, guys, Dominique got traded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We love Dominique.
Cold-blooded.
Stan Kasten to the Clippers. For those younger guys, first place, it's the year that Michael Jordan's playing for the Birmingham Barons. Mm-hmm. They were in first place. Mm-hmm. Larry Bird's back was whack, and they could have gone to the finals.
After your Achilles, and he was looking good, too.
And they thought that it was going to be Danny Manning would put you over the top.
And Neek was playing really at a high level.
Yeah, Danny Manning.
I actually stopped watching Hawks
basketball. Well, you aren't the only. There are still people who haven't forgiven them.
It's generations of fans that still talk about it. You're right.
But I say that to say that was a huge mistake. Mm-hmm. But when we start talking about how much a player is beloved, let's not get it twisted here. This is not that. We're not comparing Neek to Trey. What I'm telling you is either you can win big with him mm-hmm. or you can't. And if you feel like you cannot, then I don't care how much you have this affinity for an individual. You got to move on, man. And that's where we are. I said this last week, guys, or 2 weeks ago. Mike, we're going to look up. It's going to be year 8, 9, 10 mm-hmm. for Trey. A decade in the league. And what do we have to show?
Right.
So – I don't know who those fans are. I think we got to be realistic about this situation. I do not believe, by the way, that it's solely Trey's fault that we went on this 7-game losing streak either. Right. I don't believe
that. Like I said, two things can be true. I mean, the coach might suck, you know, and Trey still doesn't play defense, but the coach has got a great resource who can hit assists, and you got to tell. See, the coach has to tell Trey, when everybody's in a flow, don't shoot from 35 feet. Okay? Quinn. Snyder needs to do his job. Before we trade Trey, let's fire the coach and get somebody who can make this work. How about that?
All right, that's what's on my mind, guys, on a Friday.
That drink's coming right up, Day-Day.
Hey, man. I'm guessing the ice was melted by the time
we're going to get you our pick segment on Monday because we picked NFL games, but the college games, Mike and I did win the Texas-Michigan game.
Yeah, I had Ohio State, so that didn't go well for me.
I got the over, so.
But we do have some NFL games picked, so we'll give you all of that Monday when we come back here. But when we come back, it was a mistake. 4th and 2 on your own 33. Why? But wait until you hear the reasoning behind it. It's next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.